This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Julian Ng and Wang Xiaoning. It is 7:07 in the morning, Tuesday the 5th of November. And overnight, US markets climbed to all-time highs as the Dow, the S&P 500 and the Nasdaq all closed at about the 0.4 to 0.6% range.
Yep, this is coming on the back of the Federal Reserve rate cut last week, and there is a lot of trade optimism fueled by demand for risk assets following a report that US and China are closing on a partial trade deal.
And on that note, this morning we speak to Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the US Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management, for more on this. Thank you for joining us, Joe. So at a summit in Bangkok, US Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross said that the US was, and I quote, very far along with phase one of a trade deal with China. How much weight are you giving this news in your outlook? And does this mean that it's a risk on mode again?
It's a risk on for the markets. In terms of the trade, I mean, not only are we looking at an easing with China, but like we're going to get the Mexican-Canada free trade agreement done. And then there's also, when it comes to Europe, the auto tariffs being there's less of a risk there. So the trade talks have definitely turned positively, and that's risk on for assets.
And the U.S. markets have also reached all-time high. It's done very well for the past decade or so. What is the relative appeal of the U.S. compared to the other regions in the world, like Europe, Japan, and also the emerging markets?
Many things, but one is just a more dynamic corporate sector, no doubt about that, a more aggressive policy stance, particularly from the Federal Reserve. Technology is a leader here in the United States, energy, financial services, healthcare. So when you kind of look across the macro and the micro spectrum, I'm not surprised that the United States has outperformed. That doesn't mean there's not opportunities in China, Malaysia, parts of Europe. But clearly when it comes to the policy response, clearly when it comes to earnings potential and leveraging all the resources available to promote earnings and growth, all roads lead to the United States.
And if we look at the fixed income market, right, in this era of ultra low rates, are there any markets that are still attractive? And if so, in what space? Would it be corporate, government, or even mortgage bonds?
More on the credit side, maybe mortgage-backed securities, shorter durations. We've seen a nice backup in the yield curve here. But in general, the credit markets here in the United States, even globally, are improving dramatically. And that's reflationary. It's on the expectation that we'll start to see more inflation. We're looking for more of a fiscal stimulus policy response out of Europe, so less negative paper. So really, when it comes to fixed income, always an important part of the portfolio. But to me, it's shorter durations, high quality, and more corporate and or government agencies.
And Joe, China's stock market is on track to be the world's best performer this year. How invested are you in Chinese equities, and are you looking at increasing the weighting here?
Well, I mean, China has some phenomenal long-term possibilities, whether it's healthcare, electrical vehicles, quantum computing, anything innovation-wise. We're looking at very carefully for the long-term, environment, water, that's all out there. So I'm not surprised how the Chinese the markets have done this year. A lot of steam was taken out last year because of the trade tensions. But, when it comes to technology, you want to be invested in both forces, the United States and China. So, don't pick one or the other. We're invested in both China and the United States when it comes to innovation. They're both innovation superpowers, so I own a little bit of both.
Thank you very much, Joe. And that was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Talking to us a little bit about China as well as what's been happening over in the U.S. And speaking of the U.S., it has been seeing its earnings season recently, and Uber reported its earnings as well. And while it did improve its loss forecast for this year, it did disappoint investors on some closely watched financial measures. So gross bookings, food delivery, and monthly active users were all below analyst estimates for the third quarter.
So it's bad, but it's not that bad. Imagine it's just a loss of $1.2 billion US dollars, right, for the quarter. And that's amazing news for Uber.
Well, it's all relative, right? You know, you lose less money than the market expects. Woohoo, everyone's happy. But then the market wasn't that happy because the stock did fall about 5% in extended trading after the quarterly report. So adjusted revenue increased 33%.
That's good news. 1/3 rise in sales revenue, that's something to shout for, don't you think?
Yes and no. I mean, it's always good when you see some top line improvement. But at the end of the day, guys, it's all down to bottom line. So when you're still loss making, not so good. I guess the question is, when is the inflection point? When does Uber start showing a profit? And, you know, how patient do investors want to be about this? Because I think we all realize that unicorns are really just some mythical creature that nobody has ever seen.
So adjusted losses for the third quarter widened to $585 million compared with $485 million in the same period last year. Still better than average analyst estimates, which hovered at around $808 million. They also revised their annual loss forecast to between $2.8 billion and $2.9 billion, an improvement of $250 million.
Yeah, but there might be some pressure on Uber because the stock lockup for the large shareholders expires, and as much as 1.7 billion additional shares could be eligible to trade, nearly doubling the total outstanding. Meanwhile, this is what Uber says. Hey, maybe profit might happen in 2021. So this is what the markets are looking for.
Yes, and now we also do have some reports out of Under Armour in the US because their shares fell nearly 20% after the company confirmed it was the subject of a federal investigation into their accounting practices. So a little bit dodgy over in Under Armour. On Sunday, the Wall Street Journal reported that the Justice Department and the Securities and Exchange Commission were examining Under Armour's revenue recognition practices and whether it shifted sales from quarter to quarter in order to make them appear a little bit better.
And on an earnings call with investors, executive declined to provide details about the probe or explain why Under Armour hadn't previously disclosed its existence, even though they had been responding to document requests for more than 2 years from the authorities.
Well, if you look at just the pure results, they did say that sales fell about 1% in the third quarter, and it lowered its revenue forecast for the rest of the year as the company actually battles to return to growth levels it once enjoyed. Now, the owner actually started this from his basement. Can you imagine? Has grown this company to be such a large one. But hey, you know, now there's accusations or possibility of dodgy accounting.
Yep, so sales decreased 4% in North America, which is Under Armour's biggest market. And meanwhile, Nike and Lululemon Athletics have been growing sales in North America for a little bit of context there. That said, Under Armour's overall profit and sales were better than Wall Street expected. They had been struggling with weak sales since 2017. Until then, it had been among the fastest growing clothing brands, riding 26 straight quarters of at least 20% year-on-year revenue growth. Looks like that may be at an end for Under Armour.
Well, its fashion is fickle.
Indeed it is. And right now we are heading into a few messages for you, and then we'll be back to take a look at some local stories. So stay tuned here on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.